We're finished with session one. Make sure five structures and processes are in place. Okay? Any questions so far? Yes. Janelle.
Isn't it right that you should have metrics for the structures and processes to make sure that it is effective and efficient? So how then do you develop a metrics for...
You don't have metrics for structures and... Well, let me see. You have goals for the structure and process. Okay, the process is supposed to have an output. Okay, the process may output. So you just ask yourself what should be the output for the process. Yung structure, hindi siya metrics. It's when there's a structural problem, this is the GM mindset seminar, not the leadership one. But anyway, when there's a recurring problem, you ask yourself the question, why? Is the problem structural? Is it process or it's people? Okay? And then through a common sense trial and error, aabutin mo kung structure, process, or people. And then if it's structural, then there's a way to do the structure. But Karen, that's GM mindset. That's another seminar. So that's all I can tell you right now. All right? Any other question? Yes. Lara, in 3 months.
Yeah. Sir Alex, you mentioned about the sweet spot and that there's a passion and then the value and then the skill. Is it possible?
Skill muna, tas value. Yeah.
Yeah. Skill and then value. Is it possible to have more than one?
Of course. Of course. You can have more than one sweet spot. In terms of, for example, it's rare, but yeah, there are multi-skilled people with multi-passions. So, yes. Pero generally, isa lang. Okay, Janelle.
Is there a difference between system and process?
No.
So it's just
nomenclature lang, yeah. Anyone else? All right. Okay, Faye.
In the diagram, is it possible to have passion without skill but have value?
Possible to have passion? No. Because the skill is driven by value. It's possible to have skill and value but no passion. Okay? It's possible to have skill and value but have no passion. Simply because you were trained so well in an area, you're very skilled. Okay? A lot of MBA graduates are skilled in management, in finance, for example, and they make a lot of money. One day they wake up, sabi niya, I really don't like to do this. Wala yung passion ko dyan. So you'll never excel. So they wake up and say, I'd rather become a pastor. Fine. I have the passion. I will develop the skill. Kasi ang importante passion, kasi skill is developable. Are you with me? Skill is developable. Pag na-combine mo yung skill, passion, and value, boy, you're done. You're done. Okay, all right. If you don't ask the question now, it's okay. You can ask the question later. But we have to proceed, all right? Page 8, session 2. Okay, so session 1 is make sure five structures and processes are in place. Okay? So if you want to embark on a 5-star people manager journey, first things first, are the 5 structures and processes in place in my team, in my group, in my ministry? If they are not, that's your first order of business. Develop those 5 structures and processes one way or another, okay? Second is cultivate influence, not authority, okay? Cultivate influence, not authority. I want you to underscore or encircle the phrase cultivate influence. You do not cultivate authority. Ask me why. Because you have it already. By virtue of title. Okay? By virtue of title, okay? Ministry in charge of ushering. If that is your title, you have authority. You don't have to cultivate it. What you cultivate is influence. Because influence is not automatic. You don't necessarily have it. Because influence does not come with a title. It comes with your behavior the way you lead people. Okay? So, cultivate influence, not authority. Because leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Give me the slide, mostly attributed to John Maxwell, actually invented by J. Oswald Chambers, of my utmost for his highest fame. Do you have that? Okay. J. Oswald Chambers died in 1917. He was the founder and principal of a Bible college in Chatham, England. And he said this, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. But John Maxwell said, the true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And by virtue of the laws on copyright, when you make ballet a statement and you publish it, yeah, you can own it. But the original one is J. Oswald Chambers. Okay, I kind of like it. They're both Christians, but right is right. Okay, so leadership or people management, effective people management is influence. If you're saying, mga bata, dito tayo, naglakad ka. Okay? We go this way. And then you look behind you and no one is following you. You're not a leader. You're just taking a walk. There's nothing wrong with taking a walk. But don't confuse it with leadership. Okay? Because influence has nothing to do with position. It has nothing to do with title. Leadership, effective people management, has nothing to do with title. It has everything to do with influence. If I am the photocopier operator, photocopying machine operator, and I'm a contractual in your church, okay? So I have no title. I'm not even an employee. I'm a contractual. But everyone comes to me with their relational problems, and I dispense advice, and their relationships are healed. Wow, I'm a leader because I have influence. If people come to me with their marital problems, with their parental problems, and I dispense advice, and they follow my advice, and their marriages improve, their parenting improves, I'm a leader because I have influence. In spite of the fact that I'm just the photocopying machine operator with a contractual arrangement with the church. It has nothing to do, you're going to be a senior pastor and not be a leader because you won't have influence. People will politely give you assent. Nakakaya, as a senior pastor yan, you know. But their hearts will not be there. They're just complying. You're a person of authority. You're not a person of influence. Persons of authority only get compliance, the minimum required. Persons of influence get commitment, the maximum possible from the people they lead. You want commitment, not compliance. Okay? Compliance is, good morning, ma'am, it's 8 a.m. Ipagpalagay mo, 8 to 5 job. Good morning, ma'am. It's me, Alex, and it's 8 a.m. Please note I'm on time. And I go off to my cubicle and work. At 4:59, I am on my three-point stance, ready to dash out of the office. But I make sure I pass by my boss, Faye. Good night, ma'am. It's 5 p.m. I've done my time. I have complied. Jankana. That is compliant behavior. You want committed behavior. 6:45 pa lang, nandito ka na, Ethel. Wow. It so happens I had a very early meeting and I got into the church and Faye is there, 6:45. Coding po ako, pastor. Ah, coding, not counted yun. But what if she was not coding? And wow, kasi I wanted to finish a project eh. And alam mo na, pag 8 o'clock comes, everybody's here, magulo na, wala ng ora. So, wow, that's commitment. No one told her to do that. That's committed behavior. You want commitment, not compliance. Okay? okay. Now, if your people are committed, I'm talking about output, not input. I tell people in Del Monte, in theory, you don't have to come to the office. I don't have to see you in the office. As long as your objectives are met, in theory, strictly speaking. However, if there's a meeting, especially if you call the meeting, it will be nice if you showed up. Ikaw nagpa-meeting eh, sumipot ka naman. Or if I call a meeting and I want you in that meeting, you better show up. But in theory, you don't have to come to the office. That is input. I want objectives met. That is output. I'm after output, not input. It's another way of saying I'm after commitment, not compliance. Of course, in most of our jobs, to produce the output, we have to show up every day. Okay, fine. If you're dealing with teenagers, okay, if you're dealing with teenagers, what would you want from a teenager? Commitment or compliance? Commitment is I am committed to the values of Jesus Christ. Whether my small group leader is watching or not, my victory group leader is watching or not, I'm committed to the Lord. Compliance is, well, I'm going to behave myself when my small group leader is watching. Okay, so what do you want from your small group members? Commitment or compliance? Duh. Diba? Commitment. One day, your small group leader comes to the meeting. She is about 14 years old, so you're dealing with these campus people. And suddenly she came with a ring on her nose. Is that okay? Are you cool with that? Ba't tahimik kayo? Hindi kayo sigurado. Eh kung anak mo yun, hindi, you're not cool with that. But she's committed. And her classmates tell you she's committed to the Lord. Her small group leader tells you she's committed to the Lord. The pastor tells you she's committed. And you know this. And she's well behaved. But one day she comes home, she's only 14, and the ring is on her nose rather than on her ear. And what impression might you get? What's happening to my daughter? Naging rocker na, hard rock pa. Well, guess what I'm driving at? If you say you want commitment, medyo luluwag ka sa compliance. Because the ring on the nose will look like non-compliant behavior. And you will suddenly change your mind. Compliant na lang, compliance na lang, walang commitment. You know what? Victory, I like victory because we are open to one another's weirdnesses. Okay? Did you know that? You and I are weird. But you know, it's okay as long as we love the Lord. So, pag naghanap ka ng commitment, you, as a people manager, you must understand, luluwag ka sa compliance. Because if you're after commitment, then hey, if the guy is late for 5 minutes, who cares? If the ministry is thriving, who cares? So, if you want to be an effective people manager, go for commitment, not compliance. Okay? Because commitment is more long-term, is more sustainable, is internal. Compliance is external. Okay? So, it's kind of a challenge. Lalo na tayong church people na we're kind of mainstream, we're kind of conservative, and you know, pero among all the churches, tayo na siguro pinaka hindi conservative. And yet, yeah, internally, we tend to be conservative. And sometimes we fall into judgmentalism. But if we want commitment, then you need to understand, wow, dealing with teenagers, I better learn how to trade off. I'd rather you were committed to me so that whether I'm watching you or not, anak, you're well behaved. And, you know, one day my son went to school and he had a lot of hair. He came home, he had no hair. Sabi ko, anak, natipos ka ba? What happened to you? You know, and rocker. He's a musician. He plays the bass guitar, the piano, the saxophone, and he likes it. So me and my wife kind of, you know, swallowed deep and, yeah, cool. Paano ka, you know. But we kind of adjusted our parenting because, sabi namin, we're after the heart, not the form. And big lesson for us. Okay? Big lesson. And it's a good lesson for all of us. We're after commitment, not compliance. Okay. If leadership is influence, you must cultivate influence. And you do that by building strong relationships. Okay. Page 9. So you build strong relationships. Leadership is influence. And you cultivate influence by building strong relationships. Everyone say building strong relationships. Therefore, the question, what is the quality of your relationship? Page 10. How would each person rate your relationship with him or her? Think of 4 work or ministry relationships and 2 home relationships. Rate how each person thinks of you overall in terms of trustworthiness, sincerity, openness, fairness, and approachability. Encircle the appropriate number. So I want you to think of 4 work relationships. Either 4 people who work for you, 4 volunteers you are supervising, okay? Or if you're not supervising any volunteer and no one is reporting to you, 4 people in church that you have to influence in order to get your job done. So, you know, 4 work relationships, okay? And then 2 home relationships. If you're married, your spouse, and a child, if you have a child. If you're unmarried, a sibling or a parent, okay? So 4 work relationships and 2 home relationships. And then you rate the quality of your relationship with each of these people by encircling the appropriate number. And then continue on to page 11 and 12. I want you to write the same 6 names on the top of the pages. There are 2 pages which are identical. There are 6 blank names there, correct? So write the same 4 work relationships names and the same 2 home relationship names, and see how well do you know the person. What are this person's dreams, frustrations, joys, and fears? Okay, I will give.